Hi, and thank you for joining me today. This is the Pod Save Nigeria podcast. Nigeria is going down the drain, and I believe we can save Nigeria through this platform. I am Emmanuel, and I've been studying Nigerian politics for over 15 years. Joining me today is Lekan. Lekan, do you want to introduce yourself?
Okay, thank you very much, Emmanuel. I'm Lekan Aladetumeyin, obviously born in Ibadan from Oyo State, but obviously ill from Ondo State in Nigeria. And I think at this time in which Nigeria as a country is, it's a very critical time. And I think a lot of security issues are happening in the country and at the moment. I think this is the ideal time in which we need to have this conversation between ourselves and find a way forward for Nigeria as a country.
Thank you very much. Lekan is an engineer, Lekan is a sport lover, and Lekan also likes politics.
Yeah, I think it was a good one over the weekend for Chelsea winning the UEFA Champions League. I think I'm happy for that. Of Chelsea.
So I congratulate Lekan and all Chelsea fans for winning the Champions League. Although it is very disappointing for me because I want a Manchester club to bring something from Europe.
Unfortunately, your noisy neighbor were unable to do it.
it's unfortunate, but congratulations, Chelsea.
Thank you very much, Manu.
Yeah. So if you are joining us, once again, this is Sport Save Nigeria podcast. Nigeria is going down the drain, and we believe that we need to have this conversation. Please continue to share this podcast, share it on Facebook, share it on WhatsApp, share it on any social media platform of your choice. Today, we are going to be telling you about our opinion on some fundamental issues in Nigeria. So it's going to be a form of question and answer session. We have some questions. I'm sure these questions are in your mind. It's just that you don't have somebody to answer those questions. So we are going to let you know our own opinion on them. So let me first tell you this before we start. Nigeria at the moment is in a very bad state. In my own opinion, I can say Nigeria is currently at war. But last week, now going to 2 weeks, the chief of army staff died. Some people believe that the guy was killed. Other people believe that he died due to the surroundings, the environment, the poor equipment by the armed forces. What is your reaction, Lekan, to that event?
I think looking at the plane crash that was suffered by the chief of army staff and also the crew members and some of the high-ranking military leaders, army in particular, I think it's a very, very sad. It's a very, very sad situation in which Nigeria could lose a high-ranking military officer like that, and obviously an experienced man, having been the theater commander for the operation against Boko Haram, which they actually call Tukun Adin. Okay, previously the operation Lafiado. I think looking at it, it's a very, very sad situation. And I think the most worrisome thing for me in which I took from that situation is two things. The first one is this particular aircraft in which crashed on that fateful Saturday, that particular aircraft has been, something seems to be worrisome with that aircraft. Something seems to be wrong because over the past year, that's going to be the second aircraft that is going to crash of that same particular mode, of that same particular manufacturer. I think an investigation needs to happen, and obviously I'm very happy that the AIB, Accident Investigation Bureau, have opened an investigation into that. But what we need to get, what Nigeria needs to do going forward is, after that investigation has been done, we need to be able to, the report has to be made public for everybody to actually scrutinize this particular report, because you could see over the course of the week, people were there with ASA, rumors and not like that. People saw two people exiting the plane via parachute, which I think is something in which obviously that needs to be investigated further. Was it one of the pilots that exited? Was it one of the crew members that exited? Was it just anybody that exited? I think that is a very, very crucial point of investigation that needs to actually happen. And I think this is going to be uncovered from the black box of the of the aircraft. I think that is very important. I think that is the first thing which I took from that. And the second thing that actually struck me was not actually was what actually happened after the plane crash, which was during the funeral. The president, the chief, the commander in chief of the armed forces of Nigeria, did not bother to attend the funeral of the chief of army staff.
So,
I think that was really, really worrisome for me, because as a person, I felt if it was a distance of say 500 miles, you would have said, oh, maybe the distance, and because the funeral was arranged in a very, very fast pace, maybe that's the reason why he could not attend. But looking at it, this is just, we are just talking about 10 miles, and the president did not bother to attend. The vice president did not bother to attend. What information are they sending to the other military men? The guys fighting Boko Haram, the guys fighting IPOB. What is the message they are trying to pass? I think of everything that happened in that particular situation, I think that is the most worrisome, because I think at this particular point in time, the country needs everything, needs all land on deck for them to be able to motivate the military officers, the guys on the war front, for them to motivate them to actually go against the Boko Haram and also every other extremist in Nigeria.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. But there is one thing I see about that. About 3 months ago, there is a plane crash where we lost 7 members of the Air Force. But nothing was done. Do you think if something has been done, maybe the Chief of Army Staff would not have died?
I don't actually believe that. I don't think anything could have been done to avert that particular plane crash. I think what needs to have been done should have been done maybe some 5 years, 4 years, 3 years ago. It's not about what you do maybe in 2 years, maybe in 2 months before the actual incidents happen. I think obviously, I think it's a common knowledge. I think most of the plane being used by the Nigerian Air Force actually needs to be more maintained. Maybe some of them needs to be taken out of service and replaced. Nobody actually understands that. But I think for this particular aircraft that crashed, I think there is something just seems a little bit worrisome, because everybody is saying this particular aircraft is a new aircraft. So if it is a new aircraft, they said it's just 6 years old and it was bought brand new by the Air Force. So something doesn't come to me as something that actually needs to be taken out of service. It might be maintenance, it might need more maintenance, very, very possible. I really don't think it's what you actually do in 2 months is going to prevent the air crash, but it's actually what you put in place, maybe over a period of time, maybe 5 years, 4 years, 6 years, the kind of the way and the processes and the manners in which the Air Force operate and the maintenance culture in which they have. I think that is the most important thing when it comes to all this kind of plane crash.
Well, thank you very much. Regarding the president not attending the burial, some people allegedly said, it's allegedly, I can't confirm it, they said the president could not attend that burial for security reasons. Should we start getting worried that the president of Nigeria is not free to walk freely in Nigeria?
I don't believe it is because of any security reasons. If there is any security reasons that will not make the president to attend the funeral of a chief of army staff that died in a plane crash, and the president, because if there is a security reason for him not to go, then nobody is serving the country. No one is serving the country. So that is just an excuse, and I think I don't think anybody buys that excuse. I don't buy the excuse. So that is just obviously that is what the public relations machine of the presidency, that is what they are known for. Just throwing things out there. They will throw it out there and try and see, are people going to buy this? Oh, they don't buy this. Let's throw this out there. They throw a lot of things out there. Maybe they throw fiber out there and they see, oh, maybe people are going to buy it. No one is going to buy that. It's just, I don't know how I'm going to put it. It's just pure negligence. And I think the presidency, the people that run the office of the president, they need to actually get their heads together and actually understand the way they want to run the country. Because obviously the president cannot run the country alone. He needs people in his cabal, I will put it that way, to actually help him with good policies to actually run the country. So I don't actually, if that is the case, no, that is just, no security reasons can stop the president from attending the funeral of the chief of army, of a chief of army staff, another military personnel. If the president was not going to attend because of a security reasons, then I think the country is not safe. I say for anyone, it's not safe for anyone if the country is not safe for the president. So I don't actually buy that. It's just an excuse, just trying to throw it out there to try and see how many people are going to buy it. And I don't think anybody is stupid enough to buy that. Obviously, I am not buying that.
So, but the chief of army staff, the late one, is dead, has been buried, and now we have a new chief of army staff. Personally, I'm worried for one fact. The late chief of army staff was appointed 5 months ago, and when he was appointed, many generals had to resign because it was the way then he was a major general when he was appointed. The new the succeeding chief of army staff too is a major general. There are so many lieutenant general above him, and based on the unwritten rule in the military, all these people now about 25, some people said over 30, but I think from different news sources I can say 25. Nigeria is going to lose about 25 army generals, and Nigeria for me is at the moment in a war. So is that something we should be worried about too?
I think from this perspective, I think this is a pattern for the president, President Buhari. This is a pattern for him. Just trying to, whenever he wants to appoint someone, he doesn't look for the best person available. He doesn't look for the best person. He just look for, it's like a quota system. In this particular area, we've got 6 people here, you've got 4 people here, you've got 3 people, okay. I'm taking it to this particular area, and he just appoint. He doesn't look at seniority. I think in the military, seniority is very, very important. I think, and the president cannot say, obviously, from the over 25 major generals that are going to retire now, there is none among them that is as good as the one he has appointed, Farouk Yahaya. He cannot actually say that. So I think it's a pattern for the president, just trying to appoint people and all the like. So from that perspective, I know Buhari for that. He just appoints based on the quota system. And looking at it, I think obviously in the military, you cannot your junior cannot be above you. Immediately your junior goes above you, then you are going to retire. I think from that perspective, Nigeria has been technically at war, obviously, with different extremes, with the security challenges all over the country. I think it's a very, very worrisome issue, because majority of all these major generals, they've been tried and they've been tested at war. For them to actually get to the rank of a major general, they must actually be they must be very good, very good strategists. And I think it's going to affect the country in a certain way. I think you are going to have some other brigadier generals, some other colonels rising up to the occasion in the military. But I think from a perspective of their morale, when they are promoted, will they actually feel, I'm being promoted? Many of them will be looking at maybe a new brigadier general being appointed, being promoted to a major general, will be looking at himself like, I don't have many years to use in the military again. So many of them, they are going to be jittery, and immediately they will be preparing for retirement. I think that should not be what should be on their mind. What should be on their mind should be, are we going to fight this insurgency we have in the country and all the like. So I think in a certain way that might actually reduce their morale, and I think that is something very, very worrisome for the country vis-a-vis looking at it from the military perspective and the like. But I think Nigerian army, I think they've been known all over the world to be very, very strong, and I think they're actually going to get over it, and I believe the officers in there, they are going to rise to the occasion, and I'm very, very sure in the nearest future they are going to actually be able to overcome the insurgency the country is facing at the moment.
Well, that's good. Just to round up this session, what do you think Nigeria can do to overcome insecurity?
I think the insecurity the country is going through now, I think it's basically the country has, from my own perspective, I think one, everybody is agitating for restructuring. I think everything is politically motivated. I think everybody have different agenda. The Southeast have their own, the Southwest have their own, the Northwest, the North Central. Everyone has their own peculiar issue. I think there needs to be a national dialogue for everybody to try and understand how do we coexist. Okay, how does the southwest coexist with the southeast? How does the north central coexist with the northwest? How does the northwest coexist with maybe with the northeast? Obviously, those two areas, those two geopolitical zones, they are very close to each other, and they seem to understand each other better than every other region in the country. And I think there needs to be a national dialogue, and everybody needs to understand that do we actually want to be together? Okay, if we actually want to be together, what is the best way for us to relate with each other? And I think that kind of conversation needs to be heard. I think, and when those kind of conversations have been heard, I think the country, everyone needs to have an open mind, and an open mind in the sense that it's not actually, everything should be on the table. Immediately you are saying something is not on the table. When I mean everything should be on the table, everything should be on the table, like, oh, does this region want to go? Does this region want to leave the country? Everything has to be on the table, because when everything is on the table, it makes everybody realize that, yes, we need to actually come to a conclusion if we want to actually coexist together, if we actually want to live as a country. And if we don't actually want to live as a country, then there is a way in which everybody can go each other's ways, and everybody can live together as different countries, if that is going to be the final situation. But in a scenario whereby you go into a dialogue or you go to a confab, the way Nigeria has had it over the years, and the first thing that comes to everybody's mind is, there is no way, there is no option, on the option that, okay, we leave each other, everybody stays together, everybody stay independently as a country, that is not on the table. Then everybody just come in there with a different agenda. And that is the reason why every confab that has been had in Nigeria, Goodluck Jonathan had one, Olusegun Obasanjo had one. And because of that, what the report from each of these confab, how has that report has helped the country? Zero. Because the conversation, the real conversation that needs to be had, the conversation that what is the way forward for us to actually, if we want to live together, how can we coexist, how can we live together as a country? That conversation is not being heard. And that conversation is not being heard because the option of us going independently, maybe the South is going, the Southwest going, the North going, the North Central going independently and living as a different entity on their own, that option is not on the table. And when that option is not on the table, everybody feels, oh, we are just being forced together. So there is no point. Everybody just come. They just go to the confab. They have a cup of tea, and everybody they get the money at the end of the day, and they go to their house. But when this conversation is being had and everything is on the table, in the sense that, oh, everybody can go as a country on their own, then everybody is going to be serious with it. Everybody will feel no. I don't think I'm ripe enough to live as a country. That everybody come together and everybody find a way to resolve the situation. But whereas that is not on the table. The report, the result of every confab or any dialogue, if that is not on the table, is just going to be the same. Two has been done since, which I understand, the Olusegun Obasanjo confab, the one that was done by Goodluck Jonathan. So if anyone is going to be heard now, it is going to be the same thing. So, and people are also clamoring for the change of, oh, let's have a constitutional review. How do you have a constitutional review when there has been, obviously, all those confabs, they are basically dialogues for you to actually use as a basis for a new constitution. All those reports, they were not implemented. So there is nothing that is going to happen. So looking at it, I think the country needs to have a good dialogue, as in a concrete dialogue, and everybody, and at the end of the dialogue, everything, every report, everything that comes out of that dialogue needs to be put into effect, needs to be done. The National Assembly needs to do their work. The state assemblies needs to do their work. Everyone has to do their work. But I think at this particular point in time, nobody's even promoting that dialogue at the moment. So I think it's a very, very tough situation for the country at the moment. And I'm just curious to see what's going to happen in the next 2 years when Nigeria has their next presidential election. So
in addition to what you've said, I just feel Nigeria needs to respect competency. All our senior military officers should be encouraged to continue. I also feel that we should have more, the military forces should have more resources. So if you join us for this session, thank you very much. This is Pod Save Nigeria podcast. Nigeria is going down the drain, and we believe we can save Nigeria through this platform. I am Emmanuel, and with me has been Lekan. Thank you, and we see you in the next episode.